They tried to stop my shine, but I said, hold up. Y'all know how many hoes done tried to hold this hoe up?
Tokyo
Park
boy.
The music.
Welcome to Craig's Pop Life Podcast, a black gay excursion into pop culture with your host, Craig Seymour.
What's up, everybody? This is Craig, and I'm trying something new. People have been asking me for a while to come back with the podcast, and I thought it was a good idea. I love doing it, you know, and hey, if somebody, this is one thing I can actually say that people have asked me about. I'm not fronting or anything like that. People really have asked about the podcast, and I love that, and I love all y'all for listening to the podcast. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to try a bunch of different things just to try to get myself back into the groove of doing the podcast, but at first, what I'm going to do is kind of revisit articles and reviews that I've written in the past, because I just kind of want to get the sense of the journey, because I've never, ever looked back at my music reviews or anything like that. I'm one of those people that I keep charging forward, and it is what it is, and it was what it was, and it ain't never going to be different. So I don't really need to concern myself with it, you know, or with it, as the case may be, because that's how I feel about it. I really don't like looking back. But I think there is something to be gained from looking back. I think we can help ourselves get to other places in our lives by looking at how we've overcome certain obstacles or made certain choices and were able to forge out new territories in the past. So I'm kind of at a transitional point in my life where I'm trying to do a whole bunch of new things. So it's kind of interesting for me to look back on my early days as a music critic and just my journey of being a music critic, because that was something that was so far out there from anything that I would have ever expected that I would do. I was in grad school at the University of Maryland, College Park in American Studies. And, you know, I was just very much in that mold of, like, you know, you sort of train for something, you know, you go to school for something, and then you gain a certain degree of, a certain degree of adequacy, because that is the way a lot of things are in this world, right? You go to school or you train for something to gain a degree of mediocrity, because people can't deal with greatness. I will say that again. People can't deal with greatness. They don't know it when they see it. But so much for that. I'm telling you, I'm just going to be loose and say how I feel about stuff. And it's just going to be what it is. I'm just too old. It's too late in my game. Not talking about anybody else. It's too late in my game to start mincing words and stuff like that. I said what I said. It is what it is. If you hurt, if you get your feelings hurt by it, fine. Come to me. We can talk about it. Or not. Whatever it is what it is. But, no, you know, basically just in that whole thing of where you train for something and then you get a certain degree of proficiency. That is the word I was looking for. See, I did all that around the way and all that attitude, and I was really just looking for that word. But, degree of proficiency, and then you get some kind of job, and then that leads to something else and leads to something else. And that was fine, and that's kind of like that's why I'm here now. I mean, that's how my grandparents, parents built, you know, whatever they built in order to get me to wherever I am. I mean, I understand that. And that's the way that most of us, most of us make that coin and get some security. But there was this side of life of, like, writing where, you know, it didn't matter, where you could have 15 degrees of writing, but if you couldn't pull together that one piece of writing, then none of that mattered. You know, it was really all about how you showed up and were able to show out in the moment. You know, kind of like your drag race moments, kind of like when you, no matter how much you prepare for drag race or something like that, it's like, child, if you didn't kill the snatch game, you didn't kill the snatch game. Doesn't mean anything bad about you, doesn't mean anything about anything except you didn't kill the snatch game. And, you know, if you didn't kill the snatch game and then you subsequently didn't do the lip sync for your life, you weren't, you know, the lips weren't sinking and the life wasn't lifing, then you're going to go home. And that's just the way certain things are in our culture. But I had never done anything really like that as an adult. So anyway, so that was kind of where I came in as a music critic. I wanted to do something where it was just the words on the page. You know, the person didn't know me, didn't know anything about it. They weren't schooled in the same, they weren't, everybody wasn't doing the same homework readings. Everybody wasn't schooled in the same things and the same vocabulary. People weren't thinking the same things. It was a matter of just having an idea and seeing if I could communicate that to other people that like to read about music. So that was a re it was a really big deal for me. It was a really big sort of, what do you call it? Sort of a breakthrough, you know. I think it caused me a lot of anxiety, and I really had to break through it. And I started out, and I'll always thank him for this, a man named Randy Shulman, who runs Metro Weekly, which is like a beautiful guide to like gay arts and entertainment that comes out every week. And at now it's just like this glossy magazine. Now it's like Time fucking, oh, excuse me, I don't really want to curse. Did I actually say the word? I hope I didn't. Time effing magazine. And stuff. It's just beautiful and glossy and just laid out. And it was always cool. It was a little bit more, you know, it wasn't glossy. It was on different type of paper and stuff. But it was just always cool because it always talked about what was going on at the clubs and talked about the music in the clubs and everything like that. So I always thought it was cool. And that's why I always wanted to, when I thought about writing, I thought that that would be a place. I'm like, you know, if a cool publication that wrote about music I like, dance music and stuff, if they could publish me, then that might mean something, and maybe that would lead me to go on to do other things, which it absolutely did. And that all goes back to this one man giving me a chance. That's why it's so important to give people chances, and that's why I, you know, that's why I'm always trying to encourage people to go out on a limb and to kind of do that thing that they're scared of, because so many people will tell you not to, and so many people will be obstacles. So I like to be among the group of people that try to open doors or try to help people see where they possibly could go with their life. Because that's all we're doing in this life here, right? We're just trying to see what we're supposed to be. We're trying to look at different possibilities. And there's so many people out there that want to close off the doors from other people to see the possibilities in this world. I'd like to be one of those people that helps keep them open. So anyway, as per usual, I really just thought I was going to sit down and read this thing off the dome, and that was going to, not off the dome, I was going to read it, just read it, but then just give my sort of you know, commentary on it. But as per usual, I've been talking for like 7 minutes, 8 minutes now, child. 8 minutes now, and I haven't even gotten to the review. So I'm going to read the review, and I'm just going to read these things just again, right as I see it. I'm not preparing for it or anything, because I really just want to get you all to share, have you all share the experience that I'm having organically just reading these things for the first time. And in some cases, child, do not do math in public, and I do not do math even on a podcast because I am not about to edit this. But anyway, this particular article, I believe, is the first, if not one of the first. What I'm about to read is one of the first, if not the first, music reviews that I ever wrote. And I wrote it for Metro Weekly, as I said. And the date on this is November 20th, 1997. So that is, I am gonna, sorry, my chair squeaked. I am gonna do the math on this to see how many years that is, but I like that I am not doing math live and I'm not editing. Where's the calculator app? Do y'all know something that gets on my nerves? Why is it that the calculator app is always asking me for money? Like, why is it we get every single other app on the calculator, but for some reason, I mean, we get every other app on the iPhone and it's fine. You know, the calendar app ain't never asking me for no money. None of these other apps is asking me for no money. But I can't do some simple math without this thing asking me for money. And now It's asking me for some game, some damn game. I was sorry to curse. I'm some darn it game that I don't know nothing about. And what in the world? Royal Matt? Who is Royal Matt? Child, can you pay for the calculator? Child, my bills be late as I don't know what if I was waiting for this thing. I don't know, something must be wrong. Something. Oh well. I guess y'all are just gonna have to figure out then. This was September, I'm sorry, November 20th, 1997. So, whatever the however the math is mathing. Oh, sorry, here we go. Okay. So now we have 2024 minus 19. Sorry, my ear plug fell out of my ear. 1997, 27 years. 20, am I loving the calculator? Heck no, I ain't loving the calculator. I had to watch all that math just to do some simple ass math. See, I didn't mean to curse. I'm really gonna try not to to curse on this. But anyway, so that's 27 years. That is a long time. That is a whole like per that's a grown person. 27, 27's a good year though. I really feel like 27 was the 27. Wait a minute. So how old was I in 1997? Hold on a second. Now we got the mathing out. Now I have to watch that whole dang on video. So 1997 minus 1968, 29. Wow. So it was 27 years ago, and I was 29. So I was really feeling that, you know, having gone through the 20s of kind of, can't really say playing it safe. If you read my memoir, All I Could Bear, My Life in the Strip Clubs of Gay Washington, D.C., which you can listen to without all of my asides, just rereading the book. It's on Audible. But anyway, if you read my book, All I Could Bear, or listen to it, you'll find out that I spent much of my 20s in gay strip clubs while I was a grad student. So it wasn't exactly like I was doing the traditional grad student route anyway, but y'all don't come for me for traditional stuff. No, nobody, don't nobody in the world ever came, ever say, oh, let me read some Craig Seymour because it's going to be some traditional stuff. Oh, it's going to be, oh, I know Craig always, Craig gives it to you traditional. Y'all, one thing about Craig, please, ain't nobody ever said that. See, y'all know what it is. But anyway, I'm about to sit back down in case this chair makes noise, and it sure did. Y'all, I don't have my glasses on. Where in my glasses? And sorry if I suck my teeth. Yes, I do suck my teeth. Did I ever tell y'all that Janet Jackson, that's one thing she mentioned. She was like laughing. She was like, ooh, you just keep sucking your teeth. Ooh, you just keep sucking your teeth. I had never heard anybody call it that or knew that that's what it was or anything like that. I just, this all, I mean, I think I was born sucking my teeth. So that is another thing that ain't gonna change. Okay, y'all, here, let's be serious. Let's be serious now. I'm gonna read, except here's the chair making the noise. Okay. This is Musical Notations by Craig Seymour. I think that was just the name of the column that was already had there, but I'll take it. Musical Notations. Go ahead. I'm moving this chair again. I'm gonna have to find something, some better chair as I go along with these, but okay. So this review was of a compilation. A 2 CD compilation. Well, not 2 CD compilation. It was two compilations, but they were this in the same collection. So they were called Super Rare Disco 1 and 2. Okay. So here we go. I'm moving the chair again. Okay. You'll find none of the classic disco hits on Super Rare Disco 1 and 2. No Turn the Beat Around. No I Love the Nightlife. If you're looking for these, you'd be better served by the disco compilations they give away with paid subscriptions to entertainment magazines. If, on the other hand, you're looking for songs that inspired these hits, Super Rare Disco is for you. This admirable collection presents disco stripped of its European influences, lifestyle pretensions, and mass marketing hoopla. In fact, it could be more aptly, in fact, it could more aptly be described as super raw disco. Ooh, child, raw, I capitalized raw, RAW. I was on my Big Daddy Kane, Nene Cherry, raw like cherry, I mean raw like cherry, raw like sushi. I said super, it could be aptly, could more aptly be described as super raw disco. To some ears, the music on Super Rare Disco might seem less like disco and more like funk and R&B, but it was precisely those sounds that gave birth to disco. Funky soul stomps like Mike and Bill's Somebody's Gotta Go, Show Ain't Me, and Rock Me Again and Again and Again by James Brown protege Lynn Collins leave no doubt that the roots of disco are firmly planted in soul. See, I mean, when you are who you are, this is the aside, an aside, when you are who you are, you don't have to be nobody different. It's like I have always been about talking about the black roots of popular music. And so even you can tell this even from my very first review. So people can say now, like, oh, how did you start, critiquing things like that? How do you know all these things about the black roots of popular music? Because I've been doing it for 27 years. And that's not saying it out of arrogance. It's just saying know what you know and continue to develop that knowledge. And that's what I do. I don't try to be knowing everything, but I know what I know, and I know what is important to me, and what is important to me, what one of the things that are very important to me are the black roots of popular music. Hell, the important to me are the black roots of popular culture, the black roots of culture, but my of US culture, but my window into this is just song. So anyway, though some of the collected tracks are irredeemably corny, their only hope is to one day garner the hip kitsch appeal of 60s bachelor pad music. I don't know what that reference came from. Other tracks reveal disco's seminal influence on future dance music. Over the course of the two discs, you hear precursors to ambient, Crown Heights Affairs, Dreaming a Dream, House, Touch and Go by Ecstasy, Passion and Pain. That is the jam, y'all. Hip hop, the Jimmy Castor's Bunch, It's Just Begun, and even acid jazz, Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson's In the Bottle. Perhaps the track that best represents what disco stands for, however, is To Each His Own by Faith, Hope, and Charity. Over a signature disco beat shuffle, this R&B trio lays down a classic disco live and let live message, complete with funky chants and real vocals simmered in slow burn soul. This song contains all of the qualities that make people still care about disco, whether it's raw or cooked up for the mainstream. Super Rare Disco 1 and 2 may not cause every contemporary listener to break a sweat, but they will easily provoke tears of nostalgia for those who remember when. Okay, well, all right. So yeah, so that was my first, to my knowledge, that was my first music review. It was certainly one of the first major ones that I did for Metro Weekly. And I look back on it and just listen to it and can't help but think that I would have written, I would have changed some stuff around, but I would have written basically the very same review today. And I don't know what, there's some kind of lesson in that. I don't know if it's less, it's not as if I've never changed. I think I have evolved, but you can see that the core of who I am as a person and who I am as a critic, who I w is the same as who I was all those calculatable years ago. So this actually made me feel really good. So I'm glad I did this. And what I'll do, I'm going to continue to go back through the can through the older reviews, go back through the catalog, and just share these off-the-cuff ramblings with you. Hopefully, I'll have a little better where I'm not, doing the calculator stuff and everything like that. But I can't promise. I can't promise, because I am who I am. But y'all should always know that I'm sharing myself with y'all exactly who I am. And This will be fun. So I'm really excited to do this, and just let me know other things that you might want for the podcast. I'm not going to always just be reading my old work. So I'll be talking about current events as I have in the past and everything. So I really enjoyed this, and I hope you did too. And I hope you'll stay with me, please. Some hater people were giving me some bad reviews on Spotify or something. And I'm like, look, I haven't even done a podcast in a while for y'all to be having that kind of fever feeling about it. So I think there's some hateration going on in the universe. So whatever. So I don't normally one of those people that are begging you for likes and and ratings and all that kind of stuff. But in this particular case, just whenever you see my stuff late coming up, if you could just, give it whatever you feel the rating is, I'd appreciate it because it does seem to be some sort of like coordinated negativity out there, which is the devil at work, but you know what it is. So I love y'all, and I'm really glad that you listened to this because if you listened this far, then I assume that you enjoyed it, and I definitely enjoyed making it for you. And I will talk to you all very, very soon. I love you very much. All right, y'all. Bye.